It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were guides, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe
welcome
out.
To hour two of the show, and the big news, and it broke right before the show started, is that Stephon Diggs is a Houston Texan, and it was for what people consider minimal compensation, just a second round pick, and the Texans got picks back, and the Texans accounts are out in force talking about the value, and I'm one, and other people too, I'm one who doesn't care so much about that, because if Stephon Diggs is awful here, and you can't expect that, but if it did happen, then people won't be saying, oh, they got great value for him. So that will be decided. But, you know, we got to grade everything the moment it happens. But on its face, giving up a second-round pick and then getting picks back in exchange seems like a really good deal for the Texans. And if you consider, like, Texans cap has this. If you consider that the Texans got two day three picks back in exchange and they're trading a 2025 pick from the Vikings, when you don't even really know how good or bad the Vikings will be next year. They've got questions at quarterback, so maybe they'll be awful, particularly if they're playing a rookie. I would say if J.J. McCarthy's their quarterback, they're probably not going to be very good next year. That's just me. That's just my bias, clearly. Justin Jefferson is out there saying, hey, shut up. Because speaking of that, if Stephon Diggs gets traded and Justin Jefferson has to deal with a rookie quarterback, he would probably be next. Now, it wouldn't happen this offseason. It would happen after the next one, after this upcoming season. But just be on the lookout for that. If it goes poorly in Minnesota with a young quarterback, if Justin Jefferson isn't making his way out the door. But when you think about the picks, the exchange, the Texans cap is saying it balances out to a late second, early third. That's the value the Texans had to give up for Stephon Diggs. And we know premium wide receivers have gone for much more over the last couple of off seasons, particularly in that off season that involves Davante Adams and Tyreek Hill. So if you're looking at it in that way, you say big win for the Texans, and now you just hope the value and the production make you feel really good about this trade in October when Stephon Diggs is having a really great start to his year. And that's yet to be seen. But an hour or so after the trade was announced, you got to consider the Texans winners. And we'll just see how much Stephon Diggs is going to cost, because I imagine an extension will get done. We'll get to more of the what equals Altuve being a bad base runner. What's the comp for that? We had a person call in about it and give our intern their comp and tell Sean. Sean didn't tell me during the break. He wants to bring it out on the air, and we'll see how I react to it. Sean thinks it's a good one. So good, he hates that he didn't think of it. But first, let's get to Irv. He wants to talk about the trade. What's up, Irv?
Hey, Deportes, gentlemen. How you doing?
Different show, even in Spanish, but what's up?
Hey, what's up, Dosa? What's up, Sean? So seriously, do you think that with this trade, Stephon, actually, because of maybe the coach, because it was Sean McDermott over there, and you know, everybody was talking about like the trade for CJ and all this other stuff. Do you think D'Amico might have an effect on him, or might actually change him a little bit, and actually have an impact? And not saying that I like the trade, because actually he's a wide receiver one, but I still have my whole doubts about the Diva thing. But do you think he might change after just being here and knowing the culture of the Texans with all that he has open to? And do you think also, should we sacrifice the Astros season for a Texans winning season? Like, we might win the Super Bowl
and
sacrifice Deshaun?
You're the fan. You're the giant fan. What do you want? Would you sacrifice this Astros season for a Texans season? What would you do?
Hell yeah, I would, man. I would do it in a heartbeat right now. If this is a team that would take us to the Super Bowl and win us the Super Bowl, man, I'd rather sacrifice this year, because it looks like nobody's going to come back, like Kyle Tucker and Alex Bregman and all the guys that were at the core, except for obviously Jose Altuve is going to be a long life Astro. What else is there for this year? Look how we start off now, but I'm not saying anything because it's the beginning of the season, but I would sacrifice the Astros season if the Texans can win a Super Bowl this year.
Does some of that have to do with the fact that you've already seen the Astros win a World Series, you've never seen the Texans win one? So you think, oh, I've got two. Is that part of it too?
Probably so, because look at what happened over there. I think every team in the Dallas area already has a championship. And the Rangers sucked, and it was such a horrible way they won it. It was sort of like blah, but with this team, like how the Texans are stacking up and the time frame that we have CJ before, you know, he's going to be the top-paid quarterback within the next couple of years, which is going to be far away. But when the time comes, what's going to happen then? You know what I mean? Right now that we have CJ as how CJ is, It's a small window to say we can actually maybe even go. I would say maybe as far as winning the AFC championship, but to the Super Bowl, I wanted that, of course. But I mean, we still, like I say, we still have to see to the season starts. I mean, these moves are Nick Casario. He's making moves, bro. That's crazy. I'm gonna give him his flowers, man.
Yeah, I understand the thought. I have a couple favorite teams, and one of them has won a couple titles. The other one hasn't been relevant since I was a little kid, so I would probably trade one for the other. And I've continued to talk about Stephon Diggs' deal. He has a long-term deal. I guess I should have been more clear. More guaranteed money as far as the deal is concerned. He's under contract through 2027. I should have been more clear about that. I meant a new deal as far as new money and guaranteed money, because the deal right now, at least the one he signed with the Bills, in 2022, $70 million guaranteed. He got nearly $48 million of that at signing. So we'll see if there is a bit of a restructure to change that. I just should have been more clear and meant a new deal as far as the guaranteed money. But he is under contract for a while. So if this is the deal the Texans are cool with, he may just be cool with that as well. You just know. When guys get traded, there's always a discussion about more money or different money. And that's yet to be seen. Irv brought up whether Stephon Diggs would affect the culture of the Texans. And the culture is been built over the last, I don't know, since DeMeco was hired in early 2023. You start winning games, now you have a culture. Stephon Diggs has been a part of winning cultures before. Will DeMeco be able to change the way a 31-year-old man operates? I don't know. Maybe Stephon Diggs would rail against that. You're not going to change me. He probably would suggest I'm not even bad for culture. What are you talking about? I don't know. I will say that. Can DeMeco, as a former player, appeal to Stephon Diggs and Stephon Diggs want to be here? That's the other thing. Do we even know that Stephon Diggs opted for this move and wanted this move or pushed for this move? There's a couple tweets out there about how he spent time in Houston for Travis Scott's softball tournament. And maybe he interacted with CJ. So maybe this is the place he wanted to be. That would certainly help the cause. If he wanted to be here, that might push aside some of the questions about whether he be an attitude problem. But you know what makes a guy feel better? New money. It would make me feel better. But yeah. As I said, he does have a deal. It'll just be a question of whether there'll be a renegotiation of that deal.
I think what also works in the Texans' favor that Stephon Diggs will be less of a problem here than he was in Buffalo, that he wanted out of Buffalo.
That is Buffalo.
And he got what he wanted.
He made enough noise to get out of Buffalo.
Yeah, he didn't want to play for the Bills anymore. Yeah. He does not play for the Bills anymore, so he will not be as bad as he was on the Bills.
We have to hope that plays a part, that playing here, but most importantly being out of Buffalo makes him feel a lot better, and he wants to play here, and he'll be excited about playing here.
And listen, this guy does have a track record of not wanting to be places after a certain amount of time, but I just don't worry about the like hypothetical what if Stephon Diggs demands a trade in 2026 or 2027.
He'll be 34 years old. Who cares about it at that point?
Yeah, I'm just like, who cares? This is a move for the next 2 years.
Yeah.
That's what this move is for. That's what a lot of the moves this offseason have been. I mean, they've either literally been 1 or 2 year deals, or they're moves that are 3 year deals, but really most of the money and most of the expectation of, you know, what you're going to get the most out of these guys is for 2024 and 2025. And in that way, I'm not too concerned about Stephon Diggs.
So the deal is structured currently where after 2025, if they wanted to get rid of him, it would cost them – actually, if they want to get rid of him after this year, say it's a complete disaster. If they wanted to get rid of him out of after this year. There is no dead cap hit to get rid of him. There's an out. And that's for the next three years of his deal after 2024, 25, 26, 27. If they just wanted to dump him, there's no dead cap hit. Making this trade would suggest they want him longer than a season. But it isn't prohibitive if he is the alleged troublemaker that he seems to be in Buffalo here, that the Texans decide, nah, didn't work out. We'll dump. Yeah, sure, it costs us a second, but we're going to move on. I don't suspect that'll be the case. And that might be why there will be a negotiation, because there is no penalty to get rid of him after this season. So we'll see. But as far as the talent, it is a step up, and you have a true number one, an older number one, but he has been a number one wide receiver for a long time and has played in big moments and had big moments in big games. And you just have to hope that guy that you got when he was on it, when he wanted to play well, when he felt, you know, receivers always want to feel wanted, when he felt like he was a guy getting a lot of targets and a lot of attention, you hope that guy comes here. But the problem for him, I guess you're going to call that, there are a lot of guys who are going to deserve targets here. He may get more of what he got in the back half of his seasons in Buffalo than he got beforehand, where it was just him and Gabe Davis. And who was he battling? Who was he battling for targets there beyond Gabe Davis? Cole Beasley?
Yeah.
That's not exactly a guy who's going to take away targets from Stephon Diggs. Yeah, I mean, sure. But here you've got two wide receivers who know CJ. CJ likes throwing the ball too. So there's always a little reticence to think, oh, he's just going to come here and be fine. Will he get the target share that he wants? Because that was something that dissipated as his 2023 season went along in Buffalo. But new start, and you just have to hope that he's A-okay with being here. And as Sean pointed out pretty smartly, he's out of Buffalo. And who wants to spend their early 30s in Buffalo if they don't have to? I mean, I get it if you want out.
It's also it is Buffalo, but it's also like specifically like it was pretty clear he was kind of done with the Bills.
He was done. It felt like he was done after the 2023 playoffs when he was yelling at Josh Allen when they were getting their ass kicked by the Bengals.
Yes, and then they ran it back for one more time.
Yeah, yeah.
Also terrible vibes. Basically when Ken Dorsey got fired and Joe Brady was like, yeah, you know, not really going to have you too involved in the offense. You could kind of tell the deterioration of that relationship. And, yeah, also guys seem to like C.J. Stroud. They seem to like D'Amico Ryan universally.
And that's kind of how the Irv call ended. Would D'Amico be someone who could change who Stephon Diggs is as far as his attitude? I don't know about that.
Doesn't even have to change him. Just Stephon Diggs can still not like people as long as C.J. Stroud and D'Amico Ryan are guys that aren't on the I don't like this person. Like, he can still be Mr. Cryptic Wide Receiver Tweets guy. Just not directed at the team, please. More to the haters.
Who else would he be cryptic about?
The outside noise. Keyshawn Johnson for what he said on Undisputed. That and what Rex Ryan said on Get Up about us, you know, that it's that kind of thing that he's going to be like, critics often tear down what they don't understand.
It would be a departure for a receiver to be only cryptic about people outside the organization.
Yeah,
generally it's about the guys directly that they see kind of every day that they're talking about. Hopefully that's not the case, and we hope and pray. But as of today, good move. Months from now, that's up for debate. But today, be excited about it. Let's not down talk what's going on. Unless you want to, you can call in and have your concerns, because I understand them. Because it is a wide receiver who just got traded, and just take it into account. It's a new era for the Texans, and it didn't begin with Stephon Diggs. It just continues with him. We will get to the suggestions about what Altuve's base running blunders, what the comp is for that. As I said before the Irv call, we got someone who had a good one that Sean wants to get to. We'll also get to DJ Burns. He was with Stan Patrick. Once again, it looks like from a car for whatever reason. They never find DJ Burns in a room where he can just zoom in from. He was in his car. He was talking to Dan Patrick, and Dan Patrick addressed, I don't even know if I should call it a rumor. I guess in a report by Peter Schrager that NFL teams were looking at DJ Burns, the NC State star, as a potential tackle if he wanted to move away from playing basketball. And DJ Burns had a response, which kind of is in line with what Sean and I thought. Tackle? What are we talking about? So we'll discuss that when we come back. But before I get to that, I want to tell you about my bookie. If you want to put a bet on the Texans as your AFC representative in a Super Bowl, now may be the time before the odds drastically switch if they haven't already. And my bookie is the place for that. Just go to mybookie.ag. It's a place where you can place bets on futures. You can place maybe a bet on CJ Stroud to be your MVP. Those are all things available. But also, it is tournament time. That comes back on Saturday. But we do have other basketball. The Rockets didn't go well last night. But if you have a lead on an NBA game tonight that you like, go to mybookie.ag. It's your one-stop shop for betting on odds. Also, it's not just the odds. If you're not sure, they have experts in the field that will help you out. So not everyone's an expert, but they have them. So you can place your money in places that'll get you paid. And that's really all we're concerned about. Get paid. If you want to bet money and you want to get paid, go to MyBookie, whether it be March Madness or others. Use the promo code BET975. And, of course, they have a sign-up bonus. If you put $200 in, you get $300 ready to play instantly. Just use that promo code BET975. The best part about MyBookie, you can bet on anything, anytime, anywhere. You can use your phone. You can use your laptop. You can use your desktop. MyBookie takes care of you there. Once again, use that promo code BET975 to secure your welcome bonus today, only with MyBookie.
You're back inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios with Del Olalea. I mean, you're not actually in the studio, but if you watch ESPN Houston's YouTube channel, it's kind of like you are.
No, not really.
No, not really. But as Michael told you, you can always watch the shows on the station. Go to YouTube, type in ESPN Houston. We're all there for you. Or always listen on the app. That's the way I go about it when I'm out and about. Sean, let's get to it. We had a caller call in about a comp for Jose Altuve's bad base running. A great player who just for whatever reason has a blind spot. And part of his game that isn't that important, and it kind of always shocks you when it happens, then you realize, oh yeah, this guy's pretty bad. So what was the caller's comp?
The caller's comp was false starts for Laremy Tunsil.
I did hear that earlier.
He's still an all-pro, but it's one thing I wish you would kind of clean up.
And you don't think about
it's a five-yard penalty.
It goes from third and four to third and nine, yeah. Which can be very impactful. And you don't think about it until it happens.
Yeah,
it's like bad snaps. That's another one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well,
if a great center, Jason Kelce doesn't have this problem, but if a center like two times a season,
yeah,
just doing the relative thing, it's only a 17 game season and 162. So two times a season, a center snaps the ball over your quarterback's head, and you go, yeah, he does have this problem.
Yeah,
it happens occasionally,
but it has to be only occasionally. It can't be like the Alabama center who's always putting it at Jalen Milroe's ankles.
Yeah, it can't be that where he's bending down and adjusting on every snap. But occasionally, there's an awful snap that throws off the timing of a play. I think that goes along with the base running thing. So the Laremy Tunsil thing is a good one too, because when it happens, you're like, oh yeah, he's being targeted by the officials again, like he told us. But you don't think about it until it occurs. No, like you watch the team and I watch the team. I'm not going, I really hope Laremy Tunsil doesn't false start here.
Yeah, you don't go into a game being like, well, Laremy Tunsil's probably going to false start twice. Like, but it happens.
It happens. It happens far more often than it should.
I also, you just mentioned him being unfairly targeted by the officials. I have not fully considered the fact that, because this offseason, I kind of realized, and a little bit this whole season, the Texans have some tweeters on the team.
Oh, they do.
They got some. I thought after Deshaun and DeAndre Hopkins left, Deshaun Watson, DeAndre Hopkins left, I thought that, hey, Now it's a new era. There's going to be I don't have to follow all these guys on Twitter and see a random tweet where I'm like, what is this about? Is this just lyrics? Or are they upset about something? And then this year, I've noticed that, Laimery Tunsil will reply to some tweets, and Titus Howard will reply to a tweet from Jeremy Branham about something.
Of all things. Of all people.
and now with Stephon Diggs in the mix, man, those Twitter fingers are going to be working overtime over on Kirby.
People over here talking about their offensive core. They got an all Twitter fingers team, too.
They'll give it to you. They'll give you some subliminals. They'll give you some directly in your comments.
And did you say Joe Mixon? Because I don't think he's unique. I don't think he is one who wouldn't tweet either. I think he's had some tweets in the past, too.
Yeah, he's not quiet on the Twitter
socials?
Streets either. No.
So, yeah, I think the Texans have plenty of guys that would have not necessarily fit in even 5 years ago on the team. It's just not something they would have welcomed. And now it's a different attitude. And it's funny because Nick Caserio came from the Patriots, and you wouldn't think he would be the type to acquire guys who are of that ilk. But maybe he's saying, you know what, the Belichick stuff only works in New England. I got to be a little different. I'm going to go out and acquire talent, even if it is an alleged Devo wide receiver and a running back who I'm going to decide to pay money to after I acquire him. A lot of things that will go against what happens in New England. We've talked about this before, I think, what New England will pay for and what they don't. It's usually a premium defensive player, whether it be a corner or a defensive end. They don't usually decide, oh, yeah, Bill Belichick has an obsession with tight ends, so let's give Hunter Henry and Johnny Smith big money in the same offseason. That worked out well. But it's generally not wide receivers and running backs. And Casario's like, we'll do it differently here.
Yeah, all the New England receivers are seventh-round picks or undrafted, or they traded a fifth-round pick for Randy Moss.
Yeah.
They basically – and the draft used to be different, but they basically – all their wide receivers, all their most impactful wide receivers were day three picks.
True. The ones they actually drafted in the first round were awful.
Yeah. Every time they tried a first or second round receiver, nope, didn't work.
Yeah. So maybe Casario was like, I'm not drafted in the first round.
Hell no.
I'll just trade for Stephon Diggs.
I know whichever one I get, I'm going to get the lemon on.
Yeah, I'll go get me an established one. And if the trade value is to believe, it only cost them a late second, early third, considering. And then you think about where they got that second from. It's trading back from their first round pick. So the Texans have been active in the offseason. We did the story yesterday about how much guaranteed money they spent this offseason. And if my belief that a new deal is coming for Stephon Diggs, that guaranteed money is going to go up. They haven't been shy to spend money on players, and it means they've bolstered their roster to a point where we are legitimately considering them as a real challenger to the Chiefs. And they've already won one playoff game, so we don't even have to worry about – they've never been there before. Now, beating the Browns at home with Joe Flacco and a Browns defense that, for whatever reason, was awful. The Browns defense is like the Astros at home. Just opposite. The Browns going on the road defensively were terrible. They were one of the worst defenses in all of football. At home, they were great. It's the opposite of the Astros, but they just have two different personalities and two different levels of production. And we saw they walked in here and were terrible. If Dalton Schultz didn't drop passes, the game would have been even worse. And then thankfully, Joe Flacco reverted back into a pumpkin and threw a couple of pick sixes that sealed the deal. So beating the Browns is different because we saw when they played a really good team, they lost. But all you can do is look at how they're acting this offseason, and it suggests they believe they're closer than maybe what that Baltimore Raven game showed. And with the health of Tank Dell, getting Joe Mixon, Nico Collins, it all feels like offensively they're going to be one of the best teams of football.
You know who agrees with you?
Who?
Trevon Diggs, brother of Stephon Diggs. He just tweeted, three number ones is crazy. The kind of side-eye emoji. Not the, eyes emoji, but the one that's, kind of a smirk and a side-eye.
Uh-huh.
And then ...
He'll see his brother. They play each other. So a Diggs versus Diggs thing. I mean, get your narratives ready for that. Yeah. And the big loser, Josh Allen. If the Texans elevate themselves, the Bills clearly, it appears, are fine taking a step back and reorganizing. And maybe they hit on the draft. Maybe they hit on wide receivers in the draft, and Josh Allen and his weapons will be just fine. But the whole, but the Dalton Schultz, Shakir, and James Cook triumvirate, not as saucy, not as sexy as someone called in earlier as the Texans. Not super sexy what's going on in Buffalo.
No, but there is a chance that Josh Allen is like, he's not happy with the guys who are remaining in the room, but he might be like, oh, Stephon Diggs won't yell at me every day now.
You think it's a great offseason? You think to Josh Allen's offseason, still dating Haley Steinfeld.
And check.
And Stephon Diggs is out.
Check. Still have Haley Steinfeld in my life. Now have
Stephon Diggs out of my life. Big wins. Big wins for Josh Allen. Yeah.
Better than the reverse.
Definitely. Yeah, I'm not going to feel bad for Josh Allen. He'll be just fine. What the Buffalo Bills will be going forward, we got the rest of the offseason to decide that. But yeah, he's still a winner. Big winner. Yeah. Apparently this show, Haley Steinfeld fans. We didn't have that discussion beforehand.
Josh Allen still has a lot going on for him.
Yeah.
Dawson Knox, too.
That's a little less than what we were discussing before. I'm going to put that on the third tier of things why he should be happy.
Sean McDermott's still around.
You love a pass catching tight end, right?
Yeah.
You love one of those.
The other one? Didn't they draft one?
Dalton Kincaid.
Dalton Kincaid?
Yeah.
I don't know this, but I bet Dawson Knox and Dalton Kincaid and Josh Allen hang out a lot.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. You got to keep your boys happy, but once again, level of happiness and why? Third tier options.
Little bit less than having Stephon Diggs out of your life and Haley Steinfeld in your life.
If we're comparing it, it's like those two levels of CJ, that's like their fifth wide receiver. As like CJ Stroud, they're the Noah Brown of happiness, those guys.
Oh, wow, good blocking wide receiver.
Yeah, that makes me happy. In some ways, in other ways, Stephon Diggs out of your life makes you much happier. But CJ's probably thrilled that he gets to throw to Stephon Diggs because he hasn't had to deal with him for an entire year yet.
Yeah, that's the thing with Diggs is that I think everyone who you know has a breakup with Diggs is kind of happy they're in the breakup. But everyone who the first honeymoon period, it's very nice. The Bills didn't have any problem with Stephon Diggs in 2020 and 2021.
Thrilled with him.
They loved it.
Maybe the Texans only have to deal with him in the honeymoon period for about a couple years. And if that leads to major success, the deal will be well worth it. We are late for a break. We'll come back. We'll get to the DJ Burns thing. He talked to Dan Patrick and answered the question about whether the NFL is in its future, the star big man for NC State. We'll also hear from Big Al D'Elia, the star of Little League World Series days gone past. He is now a high schooler, still hitting dingers. We'll hear from him. And Big Al, not so big anymore. So a couple things to get to before we wrap it up. We'll be back.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Welcome back to the show. And the other side of the Diggs trade is now hitting. People crushing the Buffalo Bills, not just for what it means for Josh Allen, but because they offered him an extension. Diggs an extension and the cap hit for it and only getting a second round pick for it. Yeah, the Bills are getting crushed from Bills media to national media. It all means Brandon Bean, one of the beloved figures if we're talking about NFL Twitter and what they think of him and how he rebuilt that team, getting destroyed. And that's the cycle. You're loved and then you're not. And the Bills, after disappointment, because they have been in the Super Bowl mix, at least they believe they have been, for years, never being able to get over the hump, feels like a giant step back, and the Diggs contract is one that will go on Brandon Bean's resume, and it won't be a positive for him. But we don't have to worry about the Bills. We're in a town where it seems like it's all blue skies. Of course, we haven't had to deal with Stephon Diggs either, so we'll see. But I did want to get to a couple things before we wrap that up. As I mentioned, There was a tweet last week that Sean and I talked about from Peter Schrager. He works for the NFL Network. He talks to a lot of NFL people. So once he tweets something and brings news, people are going to pay attention. The report was about DJ Burns Jr., who is a big man for NC State. They're on a remarkable run. They won five straight to win the ACC tournament. They weren't going to get into the tournament without it, and now they're in the Final Four. So he's a topic of conversation. Apparently, according to Peter Schrager, NFL teams are looking at DJ Burns as a potential offensive tackle. Now, DJ Burns doesn't play college football in his spare time. He is strictly a baller. He, as Sean pointed out before the show, he is like 6'9", maybe. He's probably 6'7", 6'8", if we're being honest, and 275 if we're being generous. But he would probably have to put on 20-plus pounds of good weight to be a tackle, and that would still be kind of light. Where tackles aren't generally 205 or 295. They're in that 315 to 320 range. So a lot would have to happen for an NFL team to seriously consider DJ Burns as an offensive tackle. He was asked about that. Dan Patrick did, in a less awkward interview than the one Rich Eisen had with him. Here's Dan Patrick talking to DJ Burns about potentially being an offensive tackle in the NFL.
Where did this football thing come from? Maybe trying the NFL if you didn't make the NBA.
I think that just comes along with, you know, our team being trending right now. You know, they always find something to talk about, and that just happened to be one of the topics.
Yeah, but you want to play in the NBA, correct?
Yes, sir. That's the plan.
Okay. If you don't make it, would football be something that you would at least think about playing?
I mean, I'd probably explore some other options with basketball first before all of that, but I'm not a closed-minded person.
That's the right option or the right answer there, because if you can't play in the NBA, then can you play overseas? But it just felt like it came out of nowhere, and I thought it was April Fool's joke where they're like, "Oh yeah, NFL teams are interested in you." But have you heard from anybody? NFL?
No, sir.
Nobody.
Not from me. Not to me directly.
And that's the thing. No NFL team is talking to DJ Burns. So if they're not talking to him, where did that report come from? I just like to close the loop on things. We talked about it last week, and we got it from the source, the biggest source that we could. No, it's not a thing right now. And would it be 4 or 5 years before he's NFL ready? Who is devoting resources to that player and waiting that long because of a great run in the NCAA tournament? He should transition to play football. I get it. He's big. The feet are pretty good, and he's physical enough to beat up on Kyle Filipowski. But does anyone want him blocking Danielle Hunter or Will Anderson? No. How many years away from that happening would we even consider it? Half a decade? Stop it.
I didn't even think about how funny it is that the idea that NFL teams are watching him beat up on Kyle Filipowski and on like these other ACC big men, and they're like, you know what, that's kind of like in the trenches of an NFL game. That I can see how.
Oh, look, he dominated the front court from Oakland.
Oh, they played Oakland.
Yeah, in the second round.
Nice. Yeah, I'm sure whoever Oakland's got.
Yeah,
that's,
I mean,
that's basically the
he was great against Texas Tech. Let's bring him out here to block elite edge rushers. Okay, sure. That's likely to happen, and clearly because no one has talked to him about it.
I also like the idea that DJ Burns is like, no, like he basically stopped short of like, no, I like playing basketball.
Yeah, that's my interest.
That's why I play basketball, you know, and not football.
I can make good money in Greece before I try the NFL thing.
and wreck my body less.
Yeah, let me try the sport I've loved since I was a young child. But no, I'm going to quit that because I had a great run in the tournament.
Because Peter Schrager likes me.
No, people in the NFL that Peter Schrager has talked to.
Sure,
Sean.
Sure.
I think
it was Peter Schrager and maybe like some like low-level like scout for, you know, for the Colts.
Who probably said he's got pretty good feet.
Yeah. And they're probably just like, man, imagine him. You know, like imagine if he played football instead of basketball. And then that turned into a Peter Schrager tweet of, you know, people around the league have thought about him as an offensive tackle, which is technically true.
Yeah, people around the league, if DJ think DJ Burns, if he decided on football 8 years ago, might be capable.
When he was 14 years old, yeah. He would have started playing football then.
As opposed to he's 23, 24? He's been 6 years, I think, in college basketball.
He was in the same recruiting class as Zion Williamson.
Yeah, let's wrap it up, Peter Schrager. It's not going to happen. But Keith is here. Keith called the show yesterday. He wants to bring up something that Gallant and George said yesterday. Okay, Keith, what's up?
Sports, fellas.
Once again, not this show, but go ahead.
Hey, so what do you think about the Gags take on deflated balls?
In the NFL? I don't know what he's talking about. You were there. What's he talking about?
I was there.
Are we calling them the Gags? Is that the nickname they call themselves?
I don't know. They're definitely not calling themselves that.
Okay.
I can't tell you what to call them. Freedom of speech. It's sure. A freedom of speech issue.
Thank you. First Amendment.
They're talking about the women's tournament and the mispainted lines.
Okay.
And then it turned into the men's tournament, and there's videos of the ball. The balls are probably overinflated. It's like a low-level either conspiracy or just like internet rumor where there's like videos of guys just dribbling the ball up the court, and then just the ball just bounces like way too high.
Yeah, Alex, is it Caliban for Connecticut? Kind of lent some validity to it. He was on a podcast, and he didn't come out and say that the balls are clearly inflated, but he kind of said, you know, it's different. It might be a reason why we're not shooting the ball as well. Why teams aren't. So
yeah,
it is something an actual player who would know has said. And I do think a good point is the fact that there is no central ball that's used. It's all different. Like if you go play Texas, you're going to play with the Nike ball.
Yeah.
If you play Louisville, it'll be an Adidas ball. There's no regulation ball that everyone uses. So depending on whether you're in a gym that has Adidas sponsorship, you may play with the ball you're not used to, which seems odd.
Yeah, I remember there's always discussion about, I think it was the ball that Wisconsin uses. They use like no one else in the country uses the kind of ball that Wisconsin. They
I guess because like, does Under Armour not make basketball, so they had to go find one.
Yeah, it was something like that where they use like some, and it's like a ball that like you and I could go to like Academy and buy.
Okay.
It's like that kind of ball, but there's something about it that was like it was like extra hard or something, like it didn't have like as much grip or something. And so yeah, this is just a college basketball thing. You would think that the NCAA tournament though would have.
I think they do have a specific ball that they all use. It's just not one that anyone's used to because they don't make it a rule in the regular season.
Maybe that's it. But yeah, we're talking about should they take a little bit of air out of the balls? And then Paul was like, no, because that could get you suspended for 4 games and your name drug through the mud.
And rightfully so. Cheating. Patriots. Thank you. I mean, should have been longer. I mean, if we're being fair, he's changing the integrity of the game. Should have been lost for the year. I mean, AJ Hinch lost his job. Why didn't Tom Brady?
True. Jeff Luno will never work in baseball again.
It's true. Should have happened to Brady. I mean, Paul, he got off light. Thank you. Alex Caraban is the player for Connecticut. He was talking about it. So maybe there's an issue. Maybe they're overinflated, or maybe Connecticut is used to Nike balls, and now they're playing with NCAA balls that everyone's playing with, and he doesn't like it. Who knows? But Connecticut's been just fine. Of all the teams to complain about the ball.
And we talked about Dan Hurley. Did we play the audio, or maybe we just talked about it? Complaining about the NCAA tournament committee. Like they're like, yeah, they gave us the toughest draw they could. We have 4 conference champions. It's like, one of them's Auburn, who lost to Yale in the first round. Like, yeah. I don't know if you can still complain about this. Also, you're winning every game by 25 points.
You went on a 30-0 run in the regional final. Cut it out.
At least you can think that, but like,
don't
tell me. I don't care.
You use it as motivation for your team, but I don't want to hear it from you. The closest victory over the span of 10 tournament games is 13 points.
Yeah.
And that happened in a Final Four.
I feel like I've only watched, like, I don't know, 3 of their last 10.
Because why would you?
Yeah,
because they're never competitive.
Because when they're playing in the first, what, until the Elite Eight round, there's always another game on, and that game is always more competitive than the UConn game.
You were forced to watch them against Illinois, and you regretted it. Late in the second half, you started to regret. First half, you started to regret it because that game was 23-23 and eventually wound up 56-25 in the second half. Stop it, UConn. You're probably going to win your second national title in a row. Great. But shut up about it already. We got one more segment to go. We'll get to Big Al on the other side. Anyone else want to call up about conspiracies on the gag show, I guess? Please do. We'll be back.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
If you're just heading to lunch, maybe you work from one of those places that you can't be on your phone. You can't be on the computer checking out the news. The news of the day is Stephon Diggs is a Houston Texan. The Texans traded a second-round pick they acquired from the Minnesota Vikings when they traded out of the first round. It's a 2025 second-round pick, so the Texans still do have 2 second-round picks this year. And we've speculated that with the acquisition of Stephon Diggs, that means they'll be trying to strengthen their secondary and maybe find a really good defensive tackle, which Sean and I think is still kind of a hole, particularly in the secondary. So that's the news of the day. But we're going to do a throwback here. Sean, do you remember Big Al?
I definitely remember the clip, like the you know, if you just say Big Al, I'm like, that could be a lot of things.
It's true.
Or a lot of people. But I do, when you know, Big Al, the baseball player. Yes. I remember that young man.
Yes. Big Al was called Big Al for a reason. He was a little kid. He was big. That's what I'm going to say.
A DJ Burns type.
Yes. Peter Schrager's heard. He may be an offensive tackle.
Oh, Peter Schrager has not seen this video we're about to play.
It's true. He wouldn't think that. Big Al was a viral star because of what he said. And he's still playing baseball, still playing the trade now in high school. He was from the Northeast. Big Al's funny. He acknowledges that moment. But I do appreciate him letting everyone know, I'm not so big anymore. Here's your Big Al today. And he's still hitting dingers.
Hi, my name's Alfred D'Elia. At home, they call me Big Al, and I hit dingers.
Hi, my name's Alfred D'Elia. At home, they call me Big Al, and I hit dingers. They don't even call me that anymore. I'm not that big. Yeah, I got in the box. I was hit one pitch. I got that pitch, and I didn't miss it, so really excited.
Coach, the legend of Big Al, he still indeed does hit dingers.
Yeah, that was a big spot there, you know, getting us going. He was super excited running around those bases. But yeah, the legend continues, and hopefully he can hit some more as the season goes on.
Shout out to Big Al for still hitting dingers, and a better story at a Little League baseball than Danny Almonte. I mean, if we're talking about the follow-ups,
yeah,
better for Big Al than it's gone for Danny Almonte.
Or child stars in general, you know?
Well, so thinking back to that documentary.
No, don't bring up that documentary.
Okay. I mean, but Big Al is thriving, and he's not so big anymore. If you find a picture of him, he's just in-shape baseball player.
Yeah, he just looks like a normal 15-year-old baseball player, yeah, however old he is now.
I don't know how Big Al is anymore, but it was funny to see that clip come across, and a viral sensation, still a thing, but he's just living his life. He had a moment. Big Al had a moment, but now he's just a regular baseball player, and I appreciate him. And I don't imagine it went poorly for him. Everyone loved that kid at the time, so it's something that'll probably follow him around for a while. But as long as he no longer looks like Big Al, it won't be something that haunts him.
No. I mean, obviously he's still playing baseball, so it's also, you know, that aspect of it too. Because if you make the Little League World Series, chances are you're a pretty good baseball player when you're 11, 12 years old.
Yeah.
I do wonder about all these, like, this generation of children that become a meme. or become like, you know, a joke on the internet.
And
like,
did you see the girl who, you know, she's that little blonde girl who's in the back seat in a safety seat, and she's making that face and she's got kind of the buck teeth thing going on. Or she showed up on TikTok and goes, "Look where I am." And she showed, I was like, "Oh, what?"
It's always crazy because they're always a little bit older than you expect.
Yeah.
Partially because you forget that, like, this, like, Big Al was from, I don't even know. When Big Al was probably from, like, the 2018, like, pre-coronavirus Little League World Series. Like, it's, like, so long. So you're like, whoa, he's in high school now? And his body looks completely different? He hit puberty? Whoa, that's crazy. Same thing with, like, yeah, that girl. Who's the Terrio? Remember Lil Terrio?
Yeah, there's a lot of them. And, like, the meme happened in 2013, so it's over a decade ago. She goes, look, I'm a grown woman with tattoos now.
Yeah, she's, like, 20.
Look at me. Look at me. So, yeah, that's been the thing. And it's interesting to see the kids who were that step out. Even the big kid who I think he plays basketball, the kid who's got the side-eye look and he's holding some – was it a drink? African-American kid. And he wound up – going viral a little bit late in 2023. So, yeah, those kids are going to pop up from now and then. Hey, we're still alive.
There's
living normal lives.
There's going to be, like, some sort of – someone – I don't know how you monetize that, but someone is going to find a way to get all those people and make, like, a reality show out of it, or make, like – I don't know. Maybe at the very least, like, a Super Bowl commercial with, like, Bad Luck Brian and all these people that, like – again, had their 15 minutes of fame 15 years ago.
Well, and, you talk about that kid. He got a deal with Popeyes. The kid who had the side holding the drink and looking at
there we go.
The side. He did get a deal with Popeyes.
There we go. That's great. He's playing, I'm happy for him.
He's playing basketball or football. He was playing football, and Popeyes found him and said, you know what? We appreciate you. We're going to give you a little something. So it happens.
I will say, though, they look so different now. We're not really ID checking these people, right?
So you're looking
this is different. Big Al's different because his name, you know, has to be the same.
Alfred DeLea.
Yeah, there's verification, but like that girl in the backseat, that could just be any girl in the backseat, to be honest.
Sam's got a deeper, darker conspiracy thing going on.
Not a conspiracy. I'm just saying, I could say that I was someone, and you wouldn't know if it was like the ages line up. Huh? Doesn't matter.
The kid's name is Denier. I hope I'm getting this right. Probably not. Denierst Collins, and he got an NIL deal with Popeyes.
Nice.
He plays a lower level football, but shout out, man. Hey, make that money. Another guy's going to make some money, I think, in the near future, Stephon Diggs. He is a Houston Texan. Gallant and George will talk about that big trade, and following them will be the Killer Bees. We'll talk to you tomorrow.